shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. So we learn that this last kingdom is going to be a terrible beast with 10 horns, and these 10 horns are going to be 10 kings. Got that so far? After that, verse 8, it says that I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So here we've got a very notable thing happening. Out of the 10 horns comes a little horn that comes up out of them. So from these 10 kings, one's going to arise out of them, and he's going to subdue 3 kings. We read about that in verse 24, that when he will subdue the three kings. And then I want you to think about now for a moment the features of the little horn. This is really important. First of all, his ability to communicate. This little horn is going to be known for his communication skills. Look at verse 8. It says, this little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Verse 11, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words. And so, he's going to be known for his ability to use language and communicate. Speech is a big thing you notice about him. So what is his speech going to be about? He's going to use his great powers of persuasion and his great powers of communication for one purpose. Look at verse 25 again. He will speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saint of the Most High. And so it tells us that this man's going to use all his speaking ability to speak against the Most High God. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to turn people against the Most High God. I believe that we have, although this is speaking of the last day's Antichrist, we have many Antichrists with us to this day. And there are many that would seek to pull down the God of heaven, wouldn't they? They would seek to slander the God of heaven. And there are people that would consider people like ourselves that would stand here all day long and study the Word of God to be people that are kind of in bondage to a superstition that belongs to a former age. And we need to kind of catch on and evolve from this stage onto better things. Isn't that the way people think today? They love to pull down the Most High God. Well, this man is going to perfect the art of pulling down the Most High God. He is going to use his powers of persuasion and he's going to say things like this. You know, the lack of progress with the human race is because that there are still people that believe in this Most High God. There are still people that hold on to this outdated mode, this Judeo-Christian ethic. If we could just get rid of them, we can progress into a new age. You see that already beginning to happen? I think we do, don't we? It's going to culminate in this man who will have great power to speak like this. Not only is he going to do that, it says that this one shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Verse 25, he's going to be known for his persecution of the saints of the Most High. This is speaking of those tribulation saints and the Jewish remnant that will be there in the last days. He's going to use his speech not only to speak against the Most High, but also to persuade people that we've got to get rid of these people who are spoiling the party. They're bringing everything down. They're spoiling the whole thing. Look at verse 21. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And so he's going to have a reign of terror against the saints. And then verse 25, it says that he will seek to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. What we find is that he will seek to eradicate every memory of the Most High God. And in doing that, what he's going to do is going to seek to change times. Now, our calendar tells us something about the Most High God, doesn't it? I'm here is determined by what? Christ came. That history is divided on that thing. He's going to seek to rid the world of that. He's going to try and get rid of the Lord's Day. You know, people in the world, Sunday is a universal day of rest from your labor. It's now the day that we watch football for many. But it's the universal day of rest. Because it tells us that something happened on the first day of the week. Somebody came from the grave. He's going to seek to change times. And in doing so, just like Nebuchadnezzar changed the names of Daniel and his three friends, he's going to seek to eradicate the memory of the true God. The laws will be changed. Our laws in this country came to us from England. We ought to be thankful for England. It's not a bad place after all. They came to us. Many of them were just taken straight from the British legal system. And guess where the British legal system got its ideas from? From the Word of God. And so many of our laws are going to be thought to be changed. Now we're already seeing it in a measure, aren't we? The law upholds the biblical principles that are found in the Old Testament. And constantly, the last 8 years, this administration has made a purposed assault to undermine the biblical basis of law in this country. And it's just, I think, a taste of what's going to come. He's going to do this because he wants to eradicate the memory of the true and the living God. So this is our last day's ruler, this little horn that will come out of this last empire, the revived Roman Empire. Now remember, the 10 horns go along with the 10 toes that we read about in Daniel chapter 2. And thankfully, his reign of terror is going to be but for 3.5 years. Now, the tribulation period is a 7-year period, but the great tribulation is 3.5 years, and it's only then that he will make his assault on those that are saints of the Most High God. Because in the first half of the tribulation, he's going to win the confidence of the Jews who are going to sign a covenant with him. He's going to guarantee their peace and their safety. He's going to cause the temple to be rebuilt. And it's only at the midpoint of the tribulation, when the abomination is set up, that this man is going to begin to persecute the saints of the Most High because they refuse to bow down to the abomination of desolation. And so it tells us that these things will be involved in verse 25 for time, times, and the dividing of time. Well, remember that when the dream was given concerning in chapter 4, concerning God's judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, that he would be like an animal for 7 times, 7 years. So then we have a time, did I read there, time, times, so time is 1, times is 2, and then dividing of time is half. So you've got 3.5 there. As if time is 1, you've got time, which is 1, times is 2, and dividing of time. And of course, that's confirmed later on when we get in the book of Daniel, where you have several times mentioned this 1,260 days, right? On this chart here, it speaks about that somewhere, but I need to read the chart more carefully, but it does speak about that. 3.5 years. His reign of terror will last for 3.5 years. And his reign of terror will actually come to an end when he is defeated by the one who is going to set up the 5th and eternal kingdom, and that is the Lord Jesus. And we get this from verse 11, where it says, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flames. Remember when we read in Revelation 19, when the armies come out of heaven, the beast and the false prophet, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. And so this kingdom, this revived Roman Empire, this terrible beast that Daniel saw, will have this revival in the last days. And what was going to happen is it's going to be a 10 kingdom of 10, a conglomeration of 10 kings. And then out of those 10 kings, one will arise, a notable horn. He'll subdue 3 kings. And then he is going to begin his assault for 3.5 years against the people of the Most High. Well, it's very significant that we have in chapter 7 the great prophecy now of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said in verse 13, after we've had the description of the fourth beast, it says in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel was given a tremendous vision. This correlates with the stone, remember, that broke in pieces, the feet and the 10 toes. Here is the kingdom of the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, who is this one who is like unto the Son of Man? Well, you know the answer, but let's see Scripture, interpret Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 22. Lord Jesus is being grilled by the religious leadership of the day during his trial. And in Luke 22 and let me just cut in here, verse 66. And as soon as it was day, elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Then he says this, listen to this, Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. The Lord Jesus said that he was the Son of Man. He is the one that will set up this kingdom. He's the Son of Man that will come with the clouds of heaven. He's the one that dominion will be given to him, and his dominion will be an everlasting dominion. This title, the Son of Man, is one that the Lord Jesus assumed for himself. And he uses it repeatedly in the Gospel, that he is the Son of Man. And so this long-promised kingdom will indeed be given to our Lord Jesus. Now, we've got 30 minutes left, and what I'm going to do is give you an outline of the last four chapters. I'm going to just speak about them very, very briefly, if I can possibly do that, because I don't want to just leave it in chapter 7, if I can. Let's just think about the last chapters. Remember we said in chapter 8, you've got this vision that we've spoken about, the Medo-Persian Empire and then the Greek Empire. You've got the ram with the two horns, and then you have the goat that moves, the goat with the two horns, and then you've got the ram that runs swiftly and destroys the goat and defeats him. I'm getting it wrong, aren't I? The other way around. I'm getting tired, you can tell. You've got here the battle between the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greek Empire. And the dominating empire in this chapter is the Greek Empire. And he's going to talk about the Greek Empire for one reason, and we've already stated that, is that this empire is going to be divided. Let me just read from verse 8. It says, Therefore the he-goat, speaking of Greece, waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So when Alexander's empire, when he dies, from that, the empire is going to be divided into four distinct groupings that will come out of that towards the four winds of heaven. And then it says in verse 9, And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and towards the pleasant land. And so it's going to tell us that when the kingdom was divided, it was divided into four separate kingdoms after the death of Alexander the Great. And from one of these kingdoms is going to rise another little horn. And this little horn is somebody called Antiochus Epiphanes. And we need to know a little bit about this man. You know that historically he's not really that significant a figure as far as world history. He doesn't rank with the Napoleon Bonaparte or with some of the great rulers of world history. But he is prominent in this section, chapter 8 through 12 of Daniel, because of his relationship with the nation of Israel. And he is a type of Antichrist in a very real way. He's going to be coming from the north, the king of the north that is found in this section. And he is a man that is mentioned here because of his involvement with the Pleasant Land. What happens is, primarily in chapter 8, he deals with the king of the south and the king of the north. The southern kingdom, which would include the realm of Egypt, the northern kingdom, which would deal with Syria and Mesopotamia, that whole area there, there was great rivalry between the south and the north. And the kings of the north and the kings of the south, the wars of the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, if you read history, they were always fighting for prominence. And as they did that, they used to always spill over into the land of Israel. And one of the ones that came from the north, the Seleucids, was Antiochus Epiphanes. And he attacked Egypt and was doing really well against Egypt. And then what happened was that the Romans prevented him from going any further. The Roman Empire was beginning to develop and the Romans prevented him from taking Egypt. And he was so mad that on his way back he took it out on the Jews. And what he did is very significant. First of all, he ordered that a image of Zeus be placed in the temple. This is the abomination of desolation, this image of Zeus. And then he ordered that on the temple, on the altar of the temple, a pig should be offered to Zeus. But what that did was that it defiled the temple. And the temple was out of action because of his behavior. And also he waxed great against the saints and magnified himself, verse 11, he removed the daily sacrifice in the place of the sanctuary. And so he does all these things against the Most High God. And that is why he gets such a prominent mention in chapter 8 and then again in chapter 10. Well, I think what we want to do now is I'm going to just leave it there because I don't want to rush chapter 9. So we or someone's going to have to do the last half at a later date. So we're just going to, I think, leave it there. We've got an idea of the picture of the book of Daniel, I hope, and I hope that using the study tools that you got this morning, you're going to go and finish the book yourself. But I think we'll leave it there. Let's just close in prayer then. Sam, you've got some announcements. Our Father, we're very thankful that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And even as we look at what's happening in our country at this time, help us, Father, just to recognize that you're on the throne and in control. Help us to be like Daniel, submissive to your word and your will in every situation. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.